Welcome to Geekstrom, the podcast that I promise is not only about Game of Thrones. It seems like it recently, but that's not all we talk about. I think we talk about Baby Driver and Spider-Man, so maybe some more of that stuff will come around, but we know where the bucks are at, and currently the bucks are all about Game of Thrones. I am your host, Frankie, and joining me today again are Jared.
Yeah, that's me.
Anthony.
Hello.
And resident heel, Ethan.
What the fuck?
Ooh, gotcha peg, bitch.
The buck stops here. That's what I wanted to say.
You guys might remember from last episode, Ethan was just pissed the entire time, just spitting venom constantly.
Spitting vinegar.
And he was actually, constantly indoctrinating the other members of the podcast panel to join his anger ways.
And he was violent.
If you're not with me, you're against me.
Only a Sith deals and absolutes. Oh, jeez. So, is there anything in particular that you're super pissed off about this time, Ethan?
Yeah, this garbage episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think it was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it.
Well, you suck.
Fucking sucks.
Okay, there you go. That's actually the end of the podcast. It's just a real quick one.
Right. Yeah, let's move on.
I feel like the mass media or the larger culture is kind of like coming to, and they're kind of on board with. I think they're listening to the podcast because I'm hearing a lot of the points we make then regurgitated in the media.
It makes me almost want to pivot and be like, this show's actually better than it's ever been.
You'd like to turn heel? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
I like it.
Those are wrestling terms, right?
I think so, yeah.
I did hear something that someone mentioned that kind of gave me that same instinct, Ethan, of like, oh, well, maybe I'm sick of being, I'm going to be a contrarian or whatever. Because someone was pointing out, they're like, well, they were making the argument that the real asshole is George Martin, because he was supposed to have the fucking books done by then and like not leave them like with just their dick in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. A 1,000%. I love George. I love the world he created, but what the fuck, man?
You left him high and dry.
I agree. You know what's weird? I was in a bookstore out here recently. And I went by his little section of the fantasy room, and
ooh, the fantasy room.
Oh, I don't know if you guys
have all been there. It's behind the curtain.
I don't know if you guys know about this bookstore out here in Portland called Powell's. It's like four stories tall, and it's like an entire city block, and so they have rooms dedicated to individual genres of books. So the Gold Room is where all the fantasy sci-fi stuff is. So super cool. And because of that, he has like an entire bookshelf dedicated to his books. And for a guy that can't finish his most famous books, he's incredibly prolific. He's like a dollar store Stephen King when it comes to content. But I just don't understand. Like, he's got like a million books about weird vampires and stuff.
Whoa, don't hate on Fever Dream. That was a great fucking book, okay?
Damn.
I haven't read it at all because at this point I almost refuse to read anything that is not Game of Thrones related.
Well, okay, let's fucking begin with Fever Dream, which is great, and then he has Windhaven with Lisa Tuttle, another good book. Not my favorite.
With Lisa Turtle?
No.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then he has Dream Songs, Volumes 1 and 2. Both are very good. So the man is a busy man, but
so many books, Anthony.
I know. That's
like
that's
several
pretty much
times
it.
The amount that I've read in just this one author,
including most recently because he reads it every day, the Communist Manifesto.
Oh yeah, I have that shit fucking laminated.
Very important, so I can read it in the shower.
Yeah.
Before we get into individual nitpicks about the latest episode, I have a question for you guys about this fan theory that's kind of recirculating and it's kind of gaining more steam, and it's the whole Bran is the Night King thing, What do you guys think about
Where the fuck did that? I gotta hear from maybe Anthony about where the fuck that come from.
Yeah,
that's like some left field shit.
I'm the fucking one that came up with that. Okay. No, no. Answer that question. One of my friends brought it up, and I was like, "You're fucking crazy." But then I thought about it. I'm like, "Oh no, it's cool." The whole theory is that, okay, we're going back, I think it was, like, season 6 when Bren was first learning how to become a High Jedi, and the Three-Eyed Raven was, like, he pretty much told him, if you stay in the past too long, you're gonna drown. And, yeah, and the whole idea is that Bren goes back to when the Children of the Forest created the White Walkers, and his whole thing is, oh, maybe if I stop it from ever happening, it won't happen, and he ends up... The idea, I think, is that he wargs into the guy that they, you know, sacrifice, and it's basically another version of him, because... And then if you, like, watch the show, which I think we do, we all watch it, right?
Okay.
I've seen some episodes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Night King basically knows, like, everything that's going on. Like, when Bran, you know, wargs into the Ravens, he's already on that shit, like... So, I don't know. I don't know if the theory is sound or not. I'm into it, but...
Yeah, didn't they show, like, Tim Roth getting stabbed by, like, an obsidian blade and turning into the Night King?
Yeah.
In the past?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Night King, though?
It's that guy, but he's stuck in his brain?
Yeah, I think that's what the intention is. I think within the show, which is different from the books, if I'm remembering correctly,
So there's... he worked into the Night King's brain and made him retarded like Hodor, and that's the villain of this?
Well, I think that there's supposed to be more of a, Bran loses himself in whoever the Night King actually is before he becomes the Night King. And so that, you know, hatred that he has for being created into this weird weapon for the Children of the Forest... that part of the brain takes over, but it also retains all of Bran's memories, which is why he, like Anthony said, he knows to look up to see the ravens. That's where when he has that
birds.
Well, yeah. But then there's that vision that he has where he actually grabs Bran by the arm, and that's supposed to be how they're able to get through the wall now, because the Night King has marked Bran, and Bran has gone beyond the wall or back beyond the wall,
Once Bran went back, then why didn't Uncle Benjen go with him then, if that's the case? I mean, I know that we're in... I mean, I don't know. Ethan, what do you think? As a non-book normie, what do you think about this theory?
Well, yeah, I just read about this theory today, too. Another point that someone brought up was that the Three-Eyed Raven says that Bran will someday learn how to fly, or someday he will fly, which could be a reference to the new dragon that the Night King got, maybe.
Whoa, you got a dragon?
Oh, spoilers.
But, well, my question is, if this turns out to be true, because the past few episodes have been bringing up a lot of, like, fan theories and, like, fan homework and stuff, which, I mean, maybe it'll pay off, I don't know. So, for this specific theory, if this does turn out to be the case, do you think it's better in the show's, like, as far as entertainment in the show's, the value there to not reveal that to the very end, or would there be some value in maybe tipping their hand a lot more to make you think that this is what's happening? Because I don't know, right now the Night King's kind of boring, right?
Yeah,
there's not anything to him. So if we knew he was like Bran, that might be kind of cooler, especially if Jon Snow's trying to straight up kill him.
This much, I don't like this theory at all.
It's got kind of a Back to the Future vibe to it, where it's, you know, Bran is going back in time to try to affect something that is also concurrently happening at the same time, which means that he's already, you know, it's basically the Johnny B. Goode situation, where that wouldn't exist without him having gone back in time, but then it was created because he already knew that song.
Stable loop, right?
Yeah.
It's a stable loop.
I think that's the cool film term for something I'm trying to make the Back to the Future style of
time travel. The only good time travel movie that you always have to reference.
as a quick aside, just because I was wondering this today, was Quantum Leap about a guy going back in time and changing the past, or about going back in time and trying not to, like, trying to do what was supposed to happen?
Making sure the past happened?
Back to future side. Yeah, he was trying to make it happen the way it would have happened if he hadn't gone into the past.
I believe that that is the case.
Okay, so that's just Back to the Future ripoff as a show, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, still a good
show. And I think that would be what this theory kind of would need to revolve around, which is weird because it makes it... when you have a story like that, I always think that it's interesting just to kind of think about time in that way. But it also takes a lot of the agency out of almost all of the characters, because there's one person who is kind of making things happen, and that means that all of these things have already happened, so it's kind of like preordained in a weird way. Because I think... Yeah, because at that point, then it becomes like the focal point of the show was someone who was literally gone for an entire season, and is the butt of so many jokes. And it's upon him to find a way to break the chain, or eventually end up trying to sacrifice himself or something.
And it sounds like he could, like, yeah, it sounds like he could really easily just give them basic intel.
Yeah, they'd
be able to stop this on their own. Yeah,
100%.
I mean, there's no way that this is what the show is going to do, because it's like way too confusing for these guys to hold together.
Oh yeah.
If four smart men like us can't figure it out, then there's no way those two dingbats could.
I mean, if they can't even get and this is the next thing that I want to get into is, all of the crazy moments, all of the bombastic fight scenes, all of the ridiculousness with super cool undead polar bears and all that and everything, but the thing that was the most unbelievable is how awful the Sansa and Arya storyline has become. It's just, it's ridiculous. Well,
that's another one too, because, well, the theories there too are that it's Arya's playing like a long con game here, and it's really just to set up Littlefinger. But again, like, they're not showing that at all in the television show, so we're having to, like, fill in these gaps that aren't even, like, set up at all. So it just looks really stupid right now. So even if they do pay it off with that, it's not going to be worth it. And it's not going to be, like, a satisfying aha moment.
Well, they kind of did the same thing last season, though, when Arya was running away from the Waif. And she was getting chased. And, you know, pretty much everyone was like, what the fuck are you doing, Arya? And then you found out at the end she was just leading the girl back to, you know, where she was, where she kept Needle, and then she fucked her up, and, you know, then you're like, oh.
No, okay. Yeah, but she did get fucking stabbed and got that lady killed. Like, she didn't plan all that. She just ran
that was
to
like
a
my
spot
least
where she had
team.
A sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't really, you know, argue that.
Yeah, it was shitty, like that thing last season. I think it'd be funny if Arya just at the end of all this just was like, Sansa, it was a goof. That'd be the only way it could pay off.
That and that's that, like Ethan was saying, it's like, why, if that's the intent, then why have all of that happening? Like, it almost would have been better for there to be like a situation where we saw you know, Sansa go into that room and start pilfering around and everything, and you kind of see it through the door. And then
what was she looking for, by the way?
I guess she's looking for the note. She wants to to get rid of the note so that you know, there's no evidence of whatever it is that people are going to be pissed off about. Yeah. So then you see like Arya go into the room after her, and then the door closes, and then there's like another creepy, weird around the corner shot of Baelish thinking, "Oh, I got him. They're going to be so mad at each other." And then that was it. Instead of all of the, oh, you've always wanted power. Oh, you're crazy. And then the whole thing with the faces. But then, you know, like, it was just kind of, if the intention is to be like, oh, we got you, Littlefinger. Someone finally got you. This is kind of a weird story mechanic to go about using for that.
It's
yeah,
weird.
It's unsatisfying.
Yeah, and it's weird that they're doing so much, if it is just like one big orchestration, that they're doing so much of it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that whole, like, yeah, that her threatening Sansa with a knife, like, Baelish could not have seen any of that. So who was that for, if it was a trick?
I honestly don't think it is a trick. I mean, maybe that's just because of last season. I expected the whole, like, Arya getting stabbed was just, like, she was playing the waif somehow. Maybe she didn't really get stabbed, but then she really did. So I think maybe Arya's just a stupid, shitty character.
Which is weird because... that's
just what it is now.
She's one of the people that has had, you know, the most development throughout.
She used to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just kind of just seems.
Until the show caught up with the books. And then it,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, last season, did anyone make any my wife jokes?
Oh my God.
Because we should go back and do that.
If you have your own kind of Back to the Future scenario, if you are to go back and do it, then it technically has already happened.
Oh, shit. What if this whole fucking series is about Bran going back in time to make memes?
That's what it is.
And to get stoned.
We've got
So we got, we caught up with our band of brothers, north of the wall, on their ridiculous quest to catch a zombie. And, I think there was like the whole White Walkers and Whites situation was like another. I feel like almost all of the battle scenes or big moments in these past couple episodes have really been
dumb,
like information dumps.
Information dumps.
Ethan, I gotta let you know.
Information dumps how?
So, if you're to. And again, this could be something where fans are kind of seeing things that they want to see as opposed to it being what is actually going on. But we learn that if you kill a White Walker, that supposedly all of the minions or whatever that he has, people that he's turned, will die or shatter or disappear,
like,
or whatever.
Vampire rules.
Yeah. Something like, yeah, vampire rules from fucking, what's the one with Kiefer Sutherland? Something Boys? Lost Boys. There you go. Yeah, it's Lost Boy rules. And so you got that, which immediately becomes, well, then if you just kill the Night King, then doesn't everyone die since he's like the original one? Mm-hmm. So,
which I kind of have been working off that the whole time. I assume that was always the stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad that.
I feel like it was implied.
I don't know. Well, I don't think maybe. It was implied.
You didn't think so? When he throws all the dead, I kind of figured he's the battery.
Well, I mean, I figured that, yeah, once they kill him, everyone would be lost.
It's a lot like
lost,
the Phantom Menace when you have all the droids that are all controlled by the big ship in the sky.
This is my favorite part of podcasting. Oh, my God. So that's one set of information. Two, that the Night King has a really... really well thought out infrastructure to his squad of people that they know to bring chains to dredge the bottom of Frozen Lake just in case.
Other is that he's fucking Joe Montana with the goddamn spear.
He threw that thing like a half a mile.
Yeah,
yeah, it was
not
like
even a crow hop.
And he fucking looked so as bored when he did it. He looked so bored too. He was just like very like nonchalant. He was just like, okay, give me the spare. like he just didn't feel like he looked like he didn't even want to do it. He was just bored.
It was honestly, it was beautiful form. Like he eyed it in, and he waited. You know, sometimes when you're throwing an ice javelin,
he called out a shot to the crowd.
Oh yeah, he was like Babe Ruth. He's like, listen, this is going to kill a dragon. Wait for it. Chuck. Done. It's just...
I mean, the thing is, if you watch that scene over again, you can see he points to the dragon, and then the two guys behind him exchange money on a bet to see if he can get it.
A couple of the Whites in the background are like fist bumping, you know, because they're like, oh, this is about to happen. I told you. He does this thing. I told you about it.
Like, no fucking way.
Yeah, especially because there was a much closer dragon that was stationary he could have hit.
Yeah, with all his enemies on it.
Well, he won, you know, it's all about style. You got to go for style points. You know, if you're going to make the Olympics, you got to go for style points.
Yeah, he's just flexing on him. He's like, look, I didn't even care to take down the dragon I should have taken down.
Watch I mean, he just didn't like that color. It's kind of like picking out a car. He's like, I want that one.
So what did you guys think about that entire scene, you know, from, you know, from the one zombie screaming, summoning the entire squad, like every single one of them, to the frozen lake, to the hound, all that stuff, you know, the fake out death of Giant Spain, you know, all that stuff. What are your overall thoughts of the main scene of this beautiful episode that we just watched?
I mean, that was like an assault on like the senses, but like specifically like your like mental senses. I mean, it was
a lot.
I know everyone's pissed off about the whole like the kind of super fast travel, which I know people have said that actually at the speed that, you know, like a homing pigeon and a dragon assumed could go, it wouldn't actually be like, you know, a week. It would maybe be able to fly a raven out of Dragonstone and then the dragon fly back in a, you know, just maybe 3 days or something total, which isn't, you know, it's not game breaking, although it's very fucked up that it happened. But I mean, what kills me is the fucking ice. How does the ice crack when it's been frozen there forever? And then like within the time the dragon comes, the ice is back stronger than it was.
But then there, that hole opens up that they're going to pull him down.
Oh, the hammer. Yeah, so the hammer breaks it. Yeah. So,
but is he that? Is he strong enough to crack ice in one swing that people were able to walk over, like an entire army of? I don't want to guess the weight of zombies.
It's fucking wild. It's I've got a fix for that. I mean, everything that happened was fucking wild. That the fact that he would even think to chuck rocks at the guys,
that was fucking
the fact
stupid.
That the fact that that's what led to the fight is that other rock, and that one guy with no brain like looked at it and was like, oh, I'm gonna start walking.
That's so stupid.
The dragon showing up, I mean, because it's not so much the time, it's just like, how would the dragons know where the fuck they were?
Yeah,
it's a lot of space to cover by like helicopter. And then just like one like nonstop fake out. I mean, the whole beginning of the battle, you kind of know, all right, none of this matters. We're just waiting for the dragons. So we're going to watch a couple dickheads die and you don't know who they are because you forgot that they came with. I don't know.
Because they didn't even show them come with. They just like appeared out of nowhere just to get eaten.
Yeah, a little weird.
Like the last episode.
Take a swing at it.
Well, last episode ends with just seven guys walking out, right? And it's the seven, like, main characters. And then all of a sudden there's three or four just chum walking around.
They're, they're, what are the people that help you get up Everest?
The Sherpas.
Yeah, they're Sherpas. they just collected them along the way.
Yeah, but did you guys have the same reaction I had where just one of the shots, you're just like, wait a second, how many guys are there?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, like and when that person died, I was like, oh, who was that? That must have been someone important because there's only important people out here. And then
they showed like every important person, and I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, just a roll call. All right, we're all still good.
Yeah, and they didn't the thing is, they didn't even talk to any of those guys.
Nope.
No.
They didn't even like be like, hey, do you have a wife back home? Yeah, I do. Okay, so it would be tragic if you died. Check
well,
that box.
So, you know. They didn't even go through the kind of hackneyed, tell my wife I love her or whatever, which is understandable because they're literally just cannon fodder. You know, they're just there to make, you know, make it seem a lot more dramatic because, oh, people are going to die. But, you know, the only person that was important that died from, you know, wounds sustained in the previous battle and being frozen to death.
And he was definitely the least important character or the least liked of the ones there.
When that Icelandic chick died in the Hard Home episode, though, I was pissed off because she was super badass in that episode, and it kind of like, you know, it affects you. You remember that woman?
And they did.
Yeah,
where is she, by the way?
She's fucking dead, dude.
Yeah, but she's should be white now.
Yeah, I mean, she's like one of like a million.
Not Gilly. What's her name?
No, not Gilly. I don't know who she was. She was like one of the chiefs, and she had her kids And then she saw the little zombie babies, and she didn't want to hurt a zombie baby, so she just let them eat them, eat her.
They did the classic TV thing where they introduce a character and then give her a backstory and then kill her in the same episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I thought they were going to do with Thormund, because he...
He talked more in this episode than he ever has.
Yeah, and he has the whole, like, ooh, I'm going back to my lady.
Making
it's monster like, dude, babies you're setting yourself with Brienne. Up.
I thought they were going to do it with Gendry. And I was you mean the fastest kid alive? A dagger. Yeah, fucking Flash.
Oh, that was so good. Hey, you're the fastest. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you're faster without your weapon.
Yeah, it's like you guys have daggers that are extremely useful. Just give him a dagger. That won't slow him down.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you can run into anybody.
So,
I thought he'd get killed.
I got a fix for the ice problem.
Ooh, you got to do the script doctor voice.
I got this. Yeah, the script doctor's in. Hey.
Coach Z. The script doctor voice.
Hey.
You don't listen to our podcast, Anthony?
No, no, not really.
Oh, God damn it.
I have another script doctor to bring up later when we get to it, but for specifically this ice problem, what happened to the giants? The dead giants? Bring one of those fuckers with them. When they jump onto the ice, then it makes more sense that it could break, because he's like 3 tons. Good. And then you also have a giant, which are awesome.
Ooh, yeah. A giant dragon fight.
There you go.
Dude, I have a good script doctor.
You gotta do it in the script doctor voice. Script doctor voice.
Here's the thing about Ghost. You can bring him in this episode, and you could just have a literal dog. No CG required. Just put him in the background, and someone's like, oh, Ghost is sniffing out the whites for us. So it makes sense that he's here. I mean, obviously it makes sense that he's there anyway, because he's this fucking guard dog with like a symbiotic link to John. So why is he not there? But... it makes more, and then you don't even have to do CG. Just, oh yeah, that dog in the background. Yeah, it's a lot bigger than it looks from here.
He could have fought the bear too. That'd be a badass scene.
That would have been a pretty good fight.
And he could have like
writing the show.
I know that works out so well, because then he could also like, I don't know, howl for the dragons to hear, and then the dragons come by. God damn,
that'd be so good.
We're very good writers, guys.
Yeah,
but just real quick, isn't Ghost like a mute though? Like he doesn't growl and bark and stuff?
Oh yeah.
No, he growls. Oh. Remember the fucking season one when
he definitely growls.
Going way back. Yeah, when the whites first showed up. Yeah, well no, when John took him to the wall and then they brought the whites back and we first learned that they died beyond the wall and then they turned into zombies.
Ah, you're right. You're right.
When they came back, Ghost was like
he
barking
is quiet
at the
though,
room.
Usually, right?
Yeah, he's not, you know.
Just like John. I thought the bear in the distance was going to be Ghost, even though that wouldn't really make any sense. But I got real excited for half a second.
I hope they don't double down on the if you've been away from your dire wolf too long, it doesn't like you anymore thing. Because I just know there's going to be a little Jared out there that's going to see, oh, look, they finally brought Ghost back. And then he just fucks off and he's going to be so pissed.
That'll happen. Ghost is gonna like die off screen, and they're gonna be like, oh, hey, sorry. For some reason, that CG is way more of a bitch. Who complained in the fucking like computer department? Someone doesn't like doing the dog. They're doing a shitload of CG on the dragons,
and it looks good. It looks really good.
It's good. Yeah.
I think they just thought that people wanted more dragon and didn't care about the wolves, but they were wrong.
We want fucking both.
Yeah, why not both?
You could just force perspective the damn wolf. Just have him standing on a table closer to the camera.
That's what they did with, ooh. Dang.
Uh-oh.
What's your face? Lord of the Rings with the hobbits.
Well, I was going to say the direwolf, Arya's.
Oh, Nymeria?
Nymeria.
Yeah, that wasn't CG. That was just an actual wolf in forced perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, did they do a green screen, like separate?
Yeah, they did a green screen. It was actually kind of poorly done, because I recognized it right off the bat, and then I watched like, you know, some how they did it thing, and it was like, yeah, they had all those other dogs, wolf dogs, running around, and then they did a completely different shot with that, and that's why it looked pretty realistic, except for the sizing. It was just like you know, when you get a perfectly normal size JPEG and you stretch it out and you can tell that it's stretched out.
See the pixels?
That's what it looked like. But the dragons do look cool, and they look cool dying. So that's where spoiler came from. We've caught up with Ethan's spoiler.
One other thing, just real quick. I would have been fine if they just used a previous shot of Ghost walking around in the snow from a previous season.
You just want to see Ghost.
Just some reaction shots. Just say he's there. You don't even have to shoot him. Just be like, oh, Ghost is walking around. He's nearby. And everyone just agrees that he's around.
Yep.
Do you smell Ghost, that? Or right? Must be Ghost.
Our old buddy Ghost.
All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We had to give Ethan a little bit more time to get angry, and Anthony a little bit of time to recover from remembering how sad he was when he saw a dragon die.
That was fucking horrible. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but I was not happy. I wasn't a happy camper.
I was like, we finally get to see all three of them fucking shit up together, full size, you know, kicking ass. Mm-hmm. And then, but, you know, it was kind of like when, I'm trying to remember when I first was like, man, there's probably going to be an undead dragon. maybe when the giants turned and I knew that it wasn't just people. Because I know from the books that they're supposed to be like. Well, they tip it with
the bear, too, kind of tips it.
Well, that too, yeah. And I was like, yep, that's got to be coming. If they're bringing dragons to this fight, then one of them's going to get capped and they're going to have an undead dragon.
Yeah, which was like it's kind of a bummer. Predictable.
It made me sad, but kind of, I don't know, I don't mind it because those dragons were just fucking up the whites, so it's like, this is such an unfair fight, we gotta tip the scales a little bit back. So
well, I mean,
far
that's
more...
been this whole season, though. This whole season's just been like a Mario Kart, like, blue shell directed at Daenerys because she was, like, way too far ahead.
It's the rubber band effect.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
And the weird thing, like, you know, they're all ready to go, and John's, like, about to reach up and, like, get on board the dragon and fly away, and he's just like, nah, I'm going to go kill some more of these zombies for whatever reason.
Because he got pissed off that his dragon friend died.
That was before
that. No, that was before that. That's what enabled him to get killed.
I thought that what it was? I thought it was, like, they kind of... We're shooting it in a way that made you think that the ice lance was going to get thrown at the, you know, the magic school bus that had the dragon had become.
That's what I thought. That's what
before they even picked up the javelin. They're all getting on the dragon.
Like, no, dude, it was like after the dragon died, and then
you guys are wrong.
You guys are
watching this. It's confusingly edited.
Well,
if I remember correctly. Drogon is on the ground and he's still spitting fire and everything. The other two are in the air and they're like all loading up and everything. And John, you know, being John, is like, oh, everyone else go before me because I'm, you know, this never ending gentleman. I want to make sure that everyone gets out. And like, as they're getting onto the back of the dragon, that's when the Night King gets, you know, for whatever reason, he's too cool to hold his own ice javelin. He has to get it handed to him from someone else.
caddy.
Yeah, he's like, give me the 3-iron javelin. I need distance on this one. So he grabs that, and they're going back and forth in between the two shots. And then he walks through the fire, and they make sure that the fire splits, because you have to know that that's part of his powers, too, for some reason, like we forgot or whatever. And then he's, you know, like you said, cool, calls his shot, starts pointing. And, you know, it's, I think at that point you're supposed to think, oh, he's going to throw it at Drogon because he's on the ground. That would be the easier shot to make. Mm-hmm. But then he throws it in the air, and then you hear the dragon cries, and everyone does the and then, you know, that's when John turns around and is like, oh, I'm gonna go fuck some shit up. That's what I remember it like. And I think, Anthony, that's probably what you kind of remember it like, too.
Yeah, well, you guys are both wrong. I can tell you what actually happened.
All right, yeah, you know, go ahead, Ethan. Go ahead.
Well, and it's the show's fault.
Look at this guy.
It's the show's fault for not making the intentions more clear. But what was happening was they were all getting on the dragon, and John looks and he sees that there's somewhat of an opportunity to go kill the Night King, which is what Beric was telling him all he had to do to end the whole war. So he starts smacking some whites back and forth going after the Night King. And then while he's doing that, the Night King throws a javelin, and then John's like, oh fuck, I gotta get out of here. And then he turns to run and gets tackled by a couple linebacker whites into the ice. Gets fucking leveled.
Yeah, so John didn't have the presence of mind to be like, hey, just aim this flamethrower at that guy.
Yeah, see, it's so stupid. Or like, because look, there's confusion here among us, even. Why don't they have him be like, I gotta go end this right now. And then he's chasing after the Night King.
Call your shot.
Yeah.
Or him and Beric, just like, well, we're the two guys. You know, we're the ones that have come back. You know, so let's team up and go fuck some shit up. I got a flaming sword. You got Valyrian steel. Let's do the thing. And then, you know, then you can actually kill Beric, who I think Anthony said before is already dead. So whatever, he can be dead. And then John does the whole, you know, another fake out death where it's like, oh, he's underwater. But come on. I mean, they didn't bring him back to just have him drown because of linebacker whites or whatever you just called him.
That was another thing where it's like, just get on with it. Cause I know you're playing me again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they should have thought to bring one guy who knew how to use a bow and like one arrowhead made out of obsidian.
Yes. That was one of my other notes.
Like, oh, that was your script. Here's what they should have done with the dragon. Actually, have Daenerys tell the dragon that died, go get him, boy. The dragon flies over to go get him, boy. And then, the dragon spits fire at him, right? Mm-hmm. But as we see, he can, like, resist fire somehow. So it kind of, like, has no effect. And so you're mm-hmm. like, oh, shit, that's bad. And while that's happening, he just chucks the spear, like, straight up the... Kind of like a Dragon Ball thing, like right straight up through the beam and then into the dragon's neck. And so he kind of kills him. And then you get a double oh shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Because the whole time I was just like, just kill it. Kill this guy with the dragon. You're right there. You've got the shot. So it would have helped if they'd shown that wouldn't actually work. So I wouldn't be like frustrated by it. Because I still don't know if it would. I don't know if you can kill that guy with dragon fire. That's true.
That is true.
Yeah. And plus, that would make more sense why he threw the spear at that other dragon and not Drogon, who had all the main characters on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're also, forgetting maybe the Night King is, like, a sentient person who knows what's going on. So maybe he was just kind of doing that to show them, like, hey, I can fuck with you. Like, that's what I was thinking. Anyway,
he was showboating? You think he was hot-dogging it?
I think he was high-stepping on him. Yeah, I think maybe... If we're assuming that the Night King has, like, some sort of plan instead of just, like, I'm the Night King, like, maybe he's just like, hey, this is what I can do. I can, you know, fuck up your nuclear bombs, and then that's pretty much it. And he was, like, messing with him.
Could be.
It's weird that the show is, like, simultaneously really dumbed down, but they're, like, missing opportunities to dumb it down in a good way. It's like...
Make it clear, you mean?
Exactly.
just make it like a straight up action movie.
I mean, just make intentions clearer so that we're not mm-hmm. just thinking all these characters are dumb idiots.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like the people that should be a little bit more nuanced are the incredibly blunt ones, and vice versa.
Because like all you'd have to do, like, this is how easy it would be to show the Night King is really waiting on the dragons. Everyone's sitting on that rock in the middle of the lake, right? Everything's happening. Mm-hmm. You pan up. The Night King is sitting there. His eyes are closed. Suddenly, his eyes open. The dragons show up. And it's like, okay, he was waiting for this. Then you get it.
He's just in a hammock.
And he knows that because he's Bran. Was happen.
Yeah. He's got some kind of powers, maybe. Because people are saying that, right? You know, he's got powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got
gotta be something. So, last question about the dragon. Is he still going to breathe fire, or is he going to breathe ice?
Ooh, Anthony's got to feel this one.
I mean,
yeah.
Give us the right George answer. R. R. Martin's children's book, The Ice Dragon, the ice dragon breathes ice, but it's like weird ice that freezes people. But, I don't know, because that one was like a living ice dragon. This one's just dead. So I don't know if it's going to be the same.
A dead fire dragon?
Yeah.
I was wondering
I'm still wondering how they're going to handle the wall, you know, which I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Fire would be more useful there, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm not... You think they're going to get to it in this last episode? Because, I mean, they're all going to King's Landing now, right? That's what we're supposed to assume from them being on the ship and everything?
Well, the next episode's going to be, I think, 79 minutes. So, mm-hmm. maybe. I
feel like they got to take the wall down this season or else...
I hope so.
Come on.
Well, do you guys like watch the season? Yeah, but, like, we don't care about the wall. I feel like.
Well, that just means that they're coming south. You know, you're no longer contained. Like, hey, these guys aren't a problem unless you're a dickhead who goes like night tripping without your buddy, or you know, goes north, you know, to serve up yourself on a platter. I mean, you know, then it's like, oh shit, now they're coming. In a couple more years, they'll be where anyone lives.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we don't really care about the wall because there's no one that we care about at the wall. So if the wall comes down, like, yeah, okay, everyone is going to die, but we figured that was going to happen.
Ed, you don't care about Ed, you piece of shit?
I care about Ed. Listen, okay, I care about
Ghost
Ed.
Ghost is still at the wall too, damn it.
We don't even know where he is.
No, but, like, if it was, like, Sam was, like, the maester at the wall, like, or something, then we could be like, oh, no, Sam, no.
I'm just saying for the sake of then they are marching on Winterfell. I mean, isn't that the whole end game, that they're actually going where the folks live?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like they're going to do what they did at the end of, I think, season two, where when we think it's over, then they're going to cut to, like, the White Walkers, like, and you're like, oh, shit, they're here or they're coming. And then they don't come for, like, another five seasons, and then, yeah.
Well, do they even need to take down the wall? Can't an ice dragon just, like, take those gates off at Eastwatch or Castle Black? Those aren't very big gates.
Yeah, it could probably help them.
And I mean, they do have the ability to, you know, use big chains for things, so they could probably bring down. That was just so weird. I mean, I know it's like it just had to happen for them, or I don't know, but it's just the idea of like there being a weird. Was oh you do.
I got a fix for the chains.
A single F Ford 150 and a winch.
No,
we're a Ram family. Thank you very much.
Did I say F Ford 150?
I think you did.
Probably.
Yeah, sorry. Ford F 150. Obviously, fellas. I'm sorry for the truckers who listen to this.
Yeah, you just said how unmanly you are.
Go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, this also plays into like a weird continuity thing going on here. So in Hardhome, at the end, the Night King just raises his hand and all the deads come alive again. So why not just forget the chains, have that last scene just be the Night King like walking over to the lake, and, like raising his hands. You're like, what's happening?
Exactly.
And then the dragon starts coming up alive. That's way cooler. Because you see them taking the chains and you're like, all right, I know what's happening like 2 minutes ahead of time.
But you know why they did that though?
Why?
The zoom in on the eye opening up is
exactly.
Such
they
a
wanted
cliche.
To have the payoff there with the eye opening.
That's so yeah, but it's so stupid.
That would
it's
be
like
a much better shot though, Ethan.
Yeah, thank you.
I did wonder if there was, and maybe Anthony could speak to it, a difference between the guy touching you and giving you like the personal promotion versus the arms raising,
because
he does
true.
That to the baby in that
true.
Room.
Yeah,
and that makes you like a White Walker. That doesn't make you like. But the baby was alive, so maybe they're playing fast and loose. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we don't really know because, you know, it's not really covered too much in the books. But my thing is maybe it's if he touches you, like he touched all of our hearts. No, like I think if he touches you, then you sort of become like your own White Walker with like your own agency and... Like, remember, I think it was season four when he touched the baby, and the baby's, like, eyes turned, like, bright blue.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, he's creating a White Walker, whereas, like, if everyone is dead, you know, he could just be like, oh, all right, and, like, he determines who's cannon fodder and who isn't. So...
That doesn't make me have a question, though, and this is not actually for the show, but just from my own thoughts. That was when they changed the baby. That was real time in the story, right? That wasn't like a flashback or anything.
Well, it didn't happen.
Yeah,
because
that was.
But
that was one of the Craster's kids, baby. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, do you get like immediately turned into a White Walker, or is there like a little White Walker baby that they have to take care of until it, you know, turns 21 and they can let it free or something like that?
Maybe
it'll be like John will kill the Night King and like none of the zombies die, and the little kid's like, actually, I was the one who made them all, and he's like, I can't kill a kid.
I'm the real Night King.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question. Who got the memo that that guy's name is the Night King? Because everyone's calling him that, and why the fuck are they all calling him that?
Maesters?
Like everyone's calling him that. And it's like, who got the memo that's his name?
I always just assume it, if people know things that they shouldn't know, it's they found out from the Maesters somehow, some way.
Okay, I have to be book nerd again. In the books, I think it's A Storm of Swords, but... Bran learns about, or he remembers the tales of someone called the Night King, and old Nan, the old lady from season one, used to tell him, this is in the books anyway, that there was a Lord Commander of the Night's Watch who married a White Walker woman, and like, what happened was he ended up, you know, betraying everyone, and his name got stricken from the records, but everyone believes he's a Stark named Brandon, and that's kind of cool, but the whole thing is, it's like an urban legend, basically. They're like, oh, he's Slenderman. So,
yeah, but that's not who this guy is, though.
No, well, maybe, but,
yeah, but I don't think he is, though.
But if that name's, out there, though.
Yeah, I feel like they still would be like, oh, who is this guy? Could he be the legendary Night King? It's kind of like if everyone was calling Sauron, but like no one actually knew him, and he never announced his name was Sauron.
You mean the servant of Morgoth?
Damn!
What?
Oh!
I'm just saying that to me is a little like, hey, come on, guys. Because I mean, it stands out because it sounds so fucking annoying every time one of them talks about him. Because is like such an emblem of how like. I don't know
it's very superhero villain.
Very blunt, you know? Fantasy, yeah. Right. At this point. And so it's weird to have everyone be like, how are we gonna, I'm gonna help you defeat the Night King. Like, that guy, you said his name was the Night King, so I trust you that that's what his name is.
Yeah, it's like they put like all of the White Walkers, which like they're all this like one collection, and they just kind of put it on one character and make it like, you know, a face for the enemy or whatever. Like, I get it.
Maybe he's the Knight President. Maybe they elected him.
He didn't win the popular vote.
He's the Knight Tsar.
Yeah, they just have a cockamamie system.
Well, hey, you know, we could actually probably find out where that name came from in a spinoff. Do you like that transition I just did there, Anthony? That's for you.
Nice little segue.
And this will be what takes place during the Geekstrom Maelstrom, because I don't have any news to talk about particularly today, so... Cue the music.
Are we done? Are we already on the Maelstrom?
No, we're talking about the spinoffs.
Okay. Are we doing the Maelstrom now?
Yeah.
Are we done?
He just said that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It would have been nice to see what you guys were like when you were little, by the way. I would like to see what kind of conversations you guys had when you were young lads.
He beat me up a lot.
Well, what I wanted, because I didn't want to end yet. I had other things to say.
I forgot this was your podcast, sir.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I was just asking. That's why I was asking, because I was disappointed in that.
What else you got to say? Are you going to talk about Benjen? Because I just remembered that. I was like, wait.
Oh, Benjen. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I just remembered how much I fucking hated that. Yeah.
Uncle Machina.
I laughed at how fucking awkward that would be for John. The, like, 12-second reunion.
It's like, hey.
Yeah. He was like, wait, no. Who? What?
Yeah, exactly. Wait a second. Wait. All right, bye.
I will admit, though, him coming in on horseback with that, like, flailing mace that he had, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was badass.
It was fucking cooler the first time, though. It looked like he was spinning a little goofy this time.
Did he do that when he saved Bran, too?
It wasn't the same kind of shot.
He came in with it spinning, though. I think he, like, busted it out midway through and then pulled some, like, Jet Li shit with it.
Yeah, because I forgot that he had saved Bran. Like, I completely forgot about that until I just said it just now. Like, I totally forgot about it.
That's all he does.
All I was going to say is that I kind of liked some of the chit-chat that the guys had early on.
Yeah, I was into the episode for the first 10 minutes.
I like that they did the whole giving the sword to Jorah, at least as a gesture, even though he had to pull the Seinfeld insisting against the gift and refuse it.
Well, what was the logistics there? Would they have just swapped swords? Or would Jorah have both swords?
He
would have
given him a sword and then like been like, I kind of don't have a sword now.
He could have been like, you'll give it to me when we get back, and then Jorah dies or something. And
that would have been good. Cool.
I think Jorah was the only guy using dragonglass blades during those fights, too.
Which was pretty badass. I liked his dual blade thing he had going on.
Yeah, well, that flaming sword seemed to be a good idea, but didn't do shit. They just kept fighting even though they were on fire.
Yeah, it looked like Thormund had it on like the back of his axe, or like the
end
of his axe. But again, like they didn't really show it.
The way that they that would have been a pretty cool sequence when they were kind of fashioning their dragonglass weapons. That would have been pretty neat.
I love a good gear up sequence.
Oh yeah.
But the way that he put that axe together was like he forgot what an axe looked like, because it almost looked like the pointy parts were going up the length of the axe instead of pointing out. So I was like, that's a little strange, but I mean, you've killed a lot more people than I have, so I'm gonna go with what you're going with.
I'm a little weirded out that literally none of them died, and I know we're, you know, kind of close to the maelstrom, but it was a point that I'd been meaning to make. We made it before, too. There's no fucking consequences for, like, anything. And, yeah, so it's like, all of these people...
Except for those poor guys that just died for no reason.
Okay, well, Thoros served his purpose, but, like, and when he died, it's like, oh, that means Beric can officially die, and I'm glad he didn't die because I love him and all, but, like, at least one of them would have died. Like, come on. And
Thorman should have died. Like,
well,
sorry,
in any other show, I could have excused it.
The Thormund? Thorund?
Tormund?
Tormund.
I think AV Club suggested that Thoros should have died really early on to kind of show this is serious, and then Tormund should have died at the end to show, you know, as a cost.
Yeah.
Well, it's like any other show, it probably would have been acceptable, but like Game of Thrones prides itself on killing off everybody. So when you have a sequence where literally no one should have survived and everyone makes it out except for like the two fucking guys that we don't know, then it kind of makes it less good.
And like what else is Thorne gonna do? Like,
fuck,
that's
Brienne.
Gonna
bang
be...
Brienne.
Yeah, like,
what... I mean, yeah, I guess make monster babies.
That's gonna be season's finale when you see them and their little family.
Aww.
I hope they do that.
It's gonna be
white picket fence.
Have big red beards.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it should be like when dogs in a cartoon have babies and half of them look like exactly like the dad.
Lady
and
the Tramp style.
In like
a
button down shirt. He's like all dadded up, mowing the lawn.
Sorry to delay the maelstrom. I know that we're on a tight schedule here.
Well, it's okay. Is there anything else before we start talking about our
real quick
ideas?
I thought the fact that they actually showed the masks was stupid.
So here's now it's time for the maelstrom, and we're gonna get started. No,
the
I'm
masks
kidding.
Look like shit. They look like rubber.
That was stupid. Just let me imagine. Maybe she has or doesn't have masks, but don't show them. That's stupid.
Didn't they look like rubber masks from like
Hollywood or Halloween store?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Yeah, it was really strange.
And it just raises more questions. Ugh, never mind.
Yeah, when she went into her kind of like explanation of what it was that she could do, and it seemed like it took a lot of the mystery out of what it is that she's been doing this entire time. It's just like,
right.
We make it sound kind of dumb now. It doesn't sound nearly as cool when we just saw it happening.
Yeah,
can
if
you
she's...
just keep him in a messenger bag, like under your bed, with the door unlocked?
And Sansa, geez. Who knows a lot about, you know, everything that's going on, doesn't know about the legendary faceless men of Braavos. Like, really? Come on. Everyone knows about them.
And she's not squeamish about holding human skin. She's like, oh, what's this? That's fucking stupid looking.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least in our world, we would be able to go and purchase something like that, you know, like at Walmart. But she would have never seen anything like this ever.
That's right.
So yeah, it's a little just strange, but yeah. Was anything else, fellas?
I'm done. That's it.
We can wait. A lot of broad stuff with
got it.
With specific examples, but I don't want to go too deep into it. I think okay. We had a good discussion, folks. I'm proud to have done this with all of you.
So Anthony, do you have a particular spinoff that you are hoping might actually happen? Because I mean that's kind of the point of this whole part now, is that the next season is the last season of the series proper, but HBO executives realize where that they might have two guys that are totally done doing the show, very very obviously done doing this show, even though they have another season to go through. But they know that this is a cash cow and that people will definitely buy into anything else that's like Game of Thrones themed. Yeah, so with that in mind, I mean, what would you guys want to see?
Okay.
I don't think HBO should get it, but I think the USA Network should have a kind of like a sex/violence, a sex/action show starring the Sand Snakes, but like as a prequel.
Oh, okay. Like Sons of Anarchy, but...
meets Charlie's Angels, meets Xena.
With the worst characters on the show, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think they had mentioned that they're all going to be prequels, I think. So that's assuming everyone in the show dies, but which would be cool, I guess. But, I mean, it kind of depends. Like, they could do like Robert's Rebellion or something like that. But I think they would be better off going like way further back, like even before the Targaryens, like, in the books, they mention there's a woman named Nymeria, who Arya named a wolf after. A little Easter egg.
Oh, that was confusing to me.
No, there was Nymeria was like a warrior queen of the Rhoynar, and after they got conquered by Daenerys's people, the Valyrians, she pretty much took apparently 10,000 ships, and they fucking sailed to Dorne. They dipped out. And, she was the only one to actually leave because everyone else followed this guy, Garen the Great. And he was like, oh, we're going to win. We're going to beat Valyria. But she was like, that's not going to happen. So, like, it would be cool to kind of see, like, all of, the old history or anything like that. That's me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I kind of like the Robert's Rebellion stuff as well. I think that would be pretty cool. Unfortunately, when I was doing some research on it after you had brought it up earlier today, I think old George said that won't be something that they cover, which would be a bummer, because it does seem like I guess a lot of the kind of secretive, spoilery type Easter egg things that have been happening in this season and last season about the important the annulment and, who John's parents really are and all that stuff kind of has already been revealed. And that would have been cool stuff to kind of, have happened during a show that was about that rebellion. Go ahead.
I feel like the rebellion is like the red herring of potential prequels, because like you so badly, just from watching the show or reading the books, want to see it in detail. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know so much about it. It would almost be like the Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me movie, which was like a prequel, but it lives entirely within like the borders of the original show. So
yeah,
there's not a whole lot that, I mean, you're kind of just fleshing out what you kind of already knew happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why like I'd like if they go back to like the old like ancient history of the world, because there's a lot of source material, and they could even use the Duncan Egg novellas. I don't know if you've heard of them, hipstery, yeah. But yeah, like they could do that, or they could do the Dance of the Dragons, where the Targaryens like had a huge civil war and they were dragons fighting each other. Yeah, they could do a lot with it, but I mean, it's HBO.
Anthony, could they basically do a show that essentially just spanned from like the Dance of Dragons on through Robert's Rebellion? Like, just skipping around, you know, not a tight, but, like, just do, like, 100 years and just kind of, you know, almost like a, what was it, like, American Horror Story or something where you kind of update the cast, but you kind of acknowledge that this is the next generation of people.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's based on an excellent show like American Horror Story.
You know what I mean? Or like True Detective. You know, every season's like not the same cast, but in this case, they would be at least, you know, connected.
Yeah, I mean, like they could do that, but I feel like at least in the companion book, The World of Ice and Fire, like pretty much everything is connected. So it's kind of like our own history where like, if you have one event and then you skip to another one, like all the things that happen in between are just as important. So like everything kind of builds on each other. And like, I feel like if they were to do that, like even the stuff in the middle that doesn't seem important, you'd still be missing out on a lot of shit.
I could see them doing like a couple like pretty contained miniseries of different points in time, you know, because I would rather them not have like another show that was multiple seasons, like just like something that was maybe like 4 or 6 episodes each, and they just kind of dive into specific points in time, like Anthony was saying. I actually think that you know, Aegon coming over, that whole the whole conquest, I think that would be pretty neat, like if there wasn't a bunch of information before or after, but just like the actual conquest portion, because I think that would be something that would, it would have dragons in it, so that people would be stoked about that. You'd get to see, you know, all of the same kind of characters, but, you know, a couple generations before, like, you know, the Stark that bent the knee and all that stuff. I think that would be pretty neat. I would like to know more about, I feel like Dorne has definitely gotten shit on. Kind of, you know, like just completely brushed away. So I think that would be something that would be neat to kind of get into,
because it just, you know, it has such a few hours to talk about Dorne. Cause like...
Well, it's just so different, you know, like even just the setting and everything. I think that would be kind of a breath of fresh air to kind of still live in this world for a little while, but just be in a completely different area. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that I would definitely be interested in for sure. And I still think it would be neat, you know, just like kind of have, you know, Ned and Robert have this whole buddy cop thing going on, you know, like even I think that would be kind of neat, you know. What about you, Ethan?
A prequel where they went back to season 4 and then like Oberyn didn't die.
Oh,
I would be cool with just a show about him. Just a show about him and his, you know, exploits, whether they just be fucking anything that moves or winning every single battle except for the last one.
Yeah, they should, I mean, he did try to become a maester, and he did go to, like, across the Narrow Sea. He was in, I think, the Golden Company. He had a pretty big, cool life. It'd be cool to follow that.
They should do an alternate history where all the slave owners win.
Oh, my God.
Got him.
Oh, David and Dan would be on that.
Gotta get that in.
Dad. He'd come back just to do that.
That was good. That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all I got. As the resident normie, I don't have the book knowledge, so.
Yeah, but I mean, that puts you in a, you know, position where, like, based on the show, like, would there be anything you'd want to see more of?
I mean.
Just a show set at the brothel.
Yeah. That'd be fun. It's just like, what's that HBO show they used to have? Cat House or something?
Yeah.
Oh, like
confessions. Well, in like general terms, I'll say for one, any spinoff is going to be terrible, so I hope they don't do it. And then Frankie, you kind of took a couple of the ideas I had. If they do a spinoff, I would want it not to be set in Westeros, because we kind of kind of sucked that dry.
Hell yeah.
So somewhere in Essos, that's the other continent, right?
Yeah, Essos, Thorios, there's the Shy by the Shadow, there's a lot they could go.
And I don't know if I want any of like the history that they talk about in this show as the spinoff, because inevitably, like, it's cooler in your head. But
That's true.
I mean, the miniseries idea that you like with Aegon's Conquest isn't bad, kind of like a Band of Brothers kind of deal.
Yeah,
get Spielberg on it.
Yeah,
I think that would be pretty neat. I also, just because I don't know, and I'm sure I could read, I guess, if I wanted to.
Boom.
But the it's called the Doom, right? Is that what it's called?
Disney. The Doom of Valyria. Do you have a few hours to talk about that one too?
That would be something that, because I want to know more about it, but I also don't want to read, that I would be okay with it.
Isn't that just what Pompeii is, starring Kit Harington?
Pretty much. We can have a whole podcast on the Doom if you'd like.
Talk about Doom.
I forgot that he was in that.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for reminding me.
The best thing he's done was since Game of Thrones was that, like, 7 days in Hell or whatever that he did, the weird tennis thing.
What's that?
Did you ever see that?
No. What?
It's like Bjorg. What's the other guy?
Oh,
the guy that yells.
John McEnroe.
Yeah, it's like a spoof on their whole situation on HBO with Kit Harington and Andy Samberg, and it's just about tennis, Chris. and it's just ridiculous, but it's pretty funny.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, for some reason, and I know this is completely off topic, but for some reason HBO has decided that they're gonna do a bunch of sports mockumentaries with Andy Samberg for some reason. I just don't know how that came about, and how, because they just did one called Tour de Pharmacy. It was like a spoof on the Tour de France and everything, and all the doping and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, how does that conversation get started? Where it's just like, you know who we should get to build a franchise around is Andy Samberg. Because that guy is going places. just out of control. But good for him. He's getting work. So with that, if you guys don't have anything else, we could probably say see you later and stuff. Anyone else?
Later stuff. The Maelstrom.
That was the Maelstrom.
Close it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
What about the masks?
Much like...
What masks?
This episode is mirroring the season of Game of Thrones. We're just kind of... We got to the end and we're just running out of steam.
Yeah, I blew all my money.
Things are getting really muddy. All right. Well, I guess then we'll start to say goodbye. You could... you can actually find this on iTunes now. Between Jared and I, we actually we figured that shit out. It's great.
We got you can it see done.
It. I'm way happier about that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So you can
I cannot listen on another platform. That's great.
Subscribe.
Hey,
no, I listen to us actually at work, and I go over it, and I'm like, wow, why would I do that to myself?
I think I heard myself say the name Melisandre, and I was like, fuck, I'm a dork. God damn it.
No, a couple of my coworkers have like asked about this because, you know, they'd be like, oh, do you want to go out tonight? I'm like, no, I can't podcast with the hard men. And they're like, oh, we want to listen. And I'm like, no.
Please.
I don't want to hear. Please, I don't want to hear. You're not allowed. Voice.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant I was going to be masturbating all night. That's what I meant, guys.
I'm watching porn.
That's what the podcasting with the hard bin, that's a euphemism for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can find this, you can subscribe and rate and do all that stuff, share it with your friends.
I'm subscribing right now.
Oh, thanks.
Me too.
You could also, I guess, technically, if you wanted to, there's this shitty little podcast. I just did one about Cars 2 called Asterix R.
It's so good.
That's a good episode.
Thanks,
brother.
Guess what? I listened to it.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Coogee's really great. He's hard to not listen to.
He's really the star.
The Coogee rules. I don't know why his brain works in a weird way.
He's the star and Asterix star.
Oh, yes. Nice. You can find Ethan. Ethan's actually, that's all he ever tweets on and stuff is Asterix R. Jared, where can we find you?
at Jesticide. I'm almost at 1,000 followers now, thanks to going viral off some Juggalo tweets.
Yeah.
That's the way to get in. You get in with the Juggalos, you're good to go. All you have to do is tell them that you'll throw back some Faygo with them. And do they yell? Hey. What are they supposed to yell?
See you at the Dark Carnival.
They just go whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. Yeah.
Yeah, be good to our comrades in the Juggalo army. We need them.
They're fighting the good fight.
They are.
And what about you, Anthony? Where can we find you?
I'm actually going to plug something different. You could find me on Xbox at Dip Draws Stuff. D-I-P Draws Stuff. Because I just want to play Overwatch with people. That's it.
Overwatch is good.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at Ant DePalma, DIPALMA. I'm almost at 2,000 followers,
Man.
Ooh, just shit on you, Jared.
Shit on me.
Take that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can follow this podcast, what is it? Twitter, yeah. At Geekstrum, STRUM after the geek. And yeah, basically I just get on there to post this and then talk shit to Ethan, and that's about it.
Bring it.
So
yeah, but it's good shit. Like, it's
good shit.
Top quality. The memes.
So from all of us to all of you. The finest shit.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.